Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, Chapter entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhava, text number 51.
Bhujate sve na bedena,
vyaktista iva tadgata,
lakshate stula matibir.
Atma
chavastitork chavastitorkavat
Atma chavastitorkavat
Bhujate
is thought of.
Sway
in his original form.
Na
not.
Bedena,
in terms of diversity.
Vyakti,
on separate reflecting objects.
Sta,
situated.
Iva,
apparently.
Tatgata,
actually having entered within them.
Lakshate,
seems. Stula matibi, to those whose intelligence is dull.
Atma,
the self.
Cha,
also.
Avastita,
situated.
Arkavat,
like the sun.
Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada.
Even when reflected in various objects, the sun is never divided, nor does it merge into its reflection. Only those with dull brains would consider the sun in this way. Similarly, although the soul is reflected through different material bodies, the soul remains undivided and non-material. Translation responsibly. Even when reflected in various objects,
the sun is never divided,
nor does it merge into its reflection.
Only those with dull brains
would consider the sun in this way.
Similarly,
although the soul is reflected through different material bodies,
the soul remains undivided
and non-material.
Purport.
The sun is reflected in many objects such as windows, mirrors, shiny metal, oil, water, and so on. Yet the sun remains one and indivisible. Similarly, the eternal spirit soul within the body is reflected through the screen of the material body. Thus the soul appears to be old or young, fat or skinny, happy or sad. The soul may appear to be American, Russian, African, Hindu or Christian. However, the soul in its natural position is free from any material designation. The word stula matibi in this verse indicates that those whose intelligence is gross and dull The word stula matibi in this verse indicates those whose intelligence is gross and dull. We have experience of a dog urinating on a valuable painting at an outdoor art show. Due to its dull intelligence, the dog could not appreciate the actual value of the painting. Similarly, unless one takes to Krishna consciousness, one is grossly misusing the invaluable opportunity of human life. Human life is meant for self-realization, and we should not waste time bickering over material designations such as capitalist, communist, American, Russian, and so on. Instead, all people should take to the loving devotional service of God and realize their eternal pure identity. One should understand the sun by observing its direct manifestation and not its distorted reflection on material objects. Similarly, one should not consider every living being in terms of his pure... Similarly, one should consider every living being in terms of his pure spiritual identity beyond the distorted manifestation of material designations. The word Atma in this verse also refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as we tend to observe ordinary jiva souls through the reflection of the material body, we tend to observe the personality of Godhead through the distorting screen of our material mind. Thus we imagine God to be impersonal, all material, or unknowable. When the sky is overcast, sunlight is the highest possible perception of the sun, which is covered by clouds. Similarly, when one's mind is fogged over with mental speculation, one may take the light emanating from the transcendental body of God to be the highest spiritual truth. However, when the mind is spotlessly clear like a cloudless blue sky, one can see the actual form of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. The absolute truth cannot be perfectly understood by the covered mind of the conditioned soul. Rather, one must see the Lord through the clear blue sky of pure Krishna consciousness, which is free from fruitive desires and mental speculation. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings Jivera Kalyana Sadhana Kam Jagate Asi E Madhuranam Avijya Timira Tapana Rupe Hridgagane Viraje. The holy name of Lord Krishna descends into the darkness of the material world just to benedict the conditioned souls. The holy name of Lord Krishna is just like the sun that rises in the clear sky of the heart of the devotees. Such brilliant knowledge cannot be understood by those who are trying, in the name of either piety or atheism, to exploit the material creation of the Lord. One must become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna, and then his knowledge will illuminate everything in all directions. Kasmin bhagavato vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati Mukunda Upanishad 1.3. Omigyan timirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin melitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishna Vebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanando Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this section of the Bhagavatam, Krishna is instructing Uddhava. So this instruction to Uddhava is called the Uddhava Gita, and Krishna uses allegories or examples, analogies, in order to explain the philosophy to Uddhava. This makes things easier to understand. It's difficult enough for us to understand things in the age of Kali. So therefore, Krishna, in order to make it easier, then he gives some examples. Some allegories or some analogies, just to make the whole thing easier, more perceptible. So now, the analogy is being given in the last two verses of the sun, Surya. Right? So the sun, actually, is described in the Brahma Samhita as being the eye of the Lord. Because the Lord can see. Krishna has vision. He is sentient, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. God is a personality. He is known as Bhagavan. This is what is established in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan Iti, Shabjate. The absolute truth has different divisions, but the ultimate understanding of the absolute truth is Bhagavan realization, that God is a personality. And this is what is established in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the purpose of the Bhagavatam, or one of the main purposes of the Bhagavatam, is to establish Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. God is a personality, and not only is a personality, but the original personality of God, his name is Krishna. This must be understood. This cannot be compromised. When Prabhupada first began ISKCON around about 1970 in India, not when he first began, but when he returned with his disciples and he began preaching very vigorously, then some of his disciples went to South India for the first time to preach. Now in South India, primarily Lord Ram is worshipped and Lord Narayan is worshipped. Krishna is not the principal personality in South Indian temples. So the devotees were meeting with some opposition because they were trying to establish Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. The original personality of Godhead is Krishna. So then they wrote to Prabhupada and they said maybe it would be more effective in our preaching if we tried to establish that Lord Ram was the original personality, or that Lord Ram is supreme, or if we put emphasis on Ramachandra or on Lord Narayan as opposed to Krishna. And Prabhupada said, no, it must be Krishna. It is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. This is not compromised because this is the absolute truth. This is the final tattva, or the final siddhanta of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Ete chamsa kala pumsam. There are many personalities, but Krishna's tu. Tu means but. But Krishna's tu, Bhagavan Swayam. He is Swayam Bhagavan, which means he is the original personality of Godhead himself. So this is uncompromised. The Srimad Bhagavatam establishes this, and Prabhupada did not compromise this. And now we see, because Prabhupada did not compromise this point, all through South India now there are many huge temples, very grand temples of ISKCON, where Radha and Krishna are worshipped. Where even Radha, Krishna and the Astasakis are worshipped, right, in South India, which is, how do they call it in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Chaitanya Charitamrita? I think it's Pancha Dvivida, the Vaishnavas, as opposed to Gaudiya, is that the term? What is it? Dravida. Yes, Pancha Dravida, which means the five areas, areas within there. The northern Indian Vaishnavas are called Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Right. The mood is different. And in South India, Pancha Dravida, which means the mood is primarily Aishwarya, which means awe and reverence towards Lord Narayan, towards Lord Ramachandra. But in Krishna worship, the mood is not Aishwarya. In the worship of Radha and Krishna, just like we have here, the mood is not Aishwarya. The mood is Madhurya. Madhurya means sweetness. Prabhupada sat right there in 1975 and he looked at Radha Ballabha, just like he's doing now, and he said, this is not Melbourne. This is Vaikuntha. And then he said, it is Vrindavan. Because this is the mood. When you worship Radha and Krishna, the mood is sweetness. It is Madhurya. It is different to the worship of Lord Narayan and the worship of Lord Ramachandra. So Prabhupada came to establish this because this is what Srila Vyasadeva establishes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that God is Krishna. Not only is God is Krishna, I mean God is Krishna, but God is a personality. Although the absolute truth has three divisions, we don't say that the absolute truth is not Brahman or Paramatma. The absolute truth is Brahman and Paramatma, but he is also simultaneously Bhagavan. This is the absolute truth. You must understand all the divisions of Godhead. Prabhupada says this in the introduction of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says that the Srimad Bhagavatam does not describe God. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes the absolute truth. And the Absolute Truth means God and His energies and His manifestations and His expansions. That is the Absolute Truth. So the Bhagavatam describes Brahman, it describes Paramatma, but ultimately the source of everything is Bhagavan. It is the personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada, he's very heavy on the Mayavadis and his purports. You read Prabhupada's purports, and I remember a number of times I've read Prabhupada's purports, and I try, and sometimes I think, why is Prabhupada so heavy on the Mayavadis? He smashes them again and again and again. He continuously hammers this point home, that God is a personality. Brahmavadis or Mayavadis, impersonalists, they have the misconception or the wrong idea that the absolute truth is impersonal and that the personality of God emanates from the impersonal aspect. Right? First there is the impersonal aspect, the effulgence, the Brahma Jyoti, the Brahman, and from the Brahma Jyoti comes Paramatma, comes Bhagavan. Right? Whereas the absolute truth, as taught by Srila Vyasadeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the opposite. It is that the personality of Godhead is the source of Paramatma and the source of Brahma Jyoti. Just like whenever you see a picture of Krishna, then Krishna has a halo. This is called Brahma Jyoti. Brahma means spirit, and Jyoti means light. Right? Krishna emanates light from his body. He's effulgent. Right? He's always effulgent. Just like sometimes in Vrindavan, in order to stop Krishna from stealing the butter, they hide the butter in the storerooms, in the center of the house, and very deep within the home, because they didn't have refrigerators 5,000 years ago. So they had cool rooms. Cool rooms means the houses are made of thick stone, just like you go to Vrindavan, you see like Radha Damodar temple, where Prabhupada's rooms are. You see like the rooms are, the walls are maybe 2 foot thick stone. So it keeps everything very cool inside. And then very deep within the house, under all this stone, then the center room is cool. So that's where they keep the bulga, to keep everything cool. So it is also dark in that area, no light gets there. So they used to hide the butter, the yogurt, in there because Krishna would always steal it. But then Krishna would come in and find it, and because he's effulgent, he doesn't need a torch to find the butter, because he's effulgent. So automatically when he enters into a dark room, everything lights up. So the gopis used to complain to Mother Yashoda, he's always stealing the butter. And she said, why don't you keep it in a dark place? And he said, because he's effulgent. What's the use? It doesn't matter where we keep it, he will get it. You can't hide it from him, because wherever he goes, everything automatically becomes effulgent. So the point is that Krishna is the source of the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna is the source of that effulgence. The effulgence emanates from the personality. Right? It's not that the personality emanates from the effulgence. That's back to front. But that's what they try to say. That's what impersonalists try to say. That the effulgence is the source of the personality. But this is illogical. Even though they say it's logical, it makes more sense. Actually, it's illogical. The personality is the source of the effulgence. Because we see that Krishna is emanating an effulgence. It's not that Krishna is caused by something superior. It is not that there is an effulgence causing him. It's actually a very confused philosophy. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's demoniac. He says that Mayavadi philosophy is asuric. It's demoniac. It's about rebelling against God. That's its underlying cause or motivation. It's to rebel against God. If we say that God is impersonal, then why is there so much personality in all the temples throughout the world? Just like if you've ever been to a temple in India where you walk in for darshan, and when they pull the curtains back and Govindam prayers begin to they turn the Govindam tape on, and there's just a big Om sign there, right? Just emanating light. Right? Just going Om, Om, Om. Right? Do we ever see? No, we don't see it. Why? Because God is a personality. And why is he established as a personality in all the temples? We don't worship an impersonal entity like that. He's a personality. He's not even transcendentalists or some spiritual people. They say his ultimate form is the Virat Rupa. But where do we go into a temple where we worship the Virat Rupa? Where you worship the whole universe. Srila Prabhupada says it's not practical to worship the universe. How do you make a garland for the universe? Prabhupada says, make a garland. Right? Get all the Mataji's in ISKCON to make a garland. All together. Right? You make one garland that's going to fit on the universal form. Not possible. Not practical. So therefore, God is a personality. This is the teaching of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Brahma Samhita it says God is a person. And if you're a person, it means that you have senses. Right? God has senses. He can see. Right? He can touch. He can taste. He can hear. And he can smell. Right? He has these senses. Right? This is the nature of personality. Personality means you must have senses. So the sun is said to be the eye of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. So the sun represents his eye, because from the sun we get the ability to see, right? We get vision, right? This is why the sun is said to be his eye, right? Because that is his eye. The sun is his eye. Then that's how we see, right? Without Krishna's eye, or without the sun, we cannot see. Even though we have eyes, but if there's no sun, we cannot see anything. It's useless. Our eyes are useless. Even the electricity in all the light globes, that is coming from the sun. All this electricity comes from Gippsland in the power plants. The power plants are burning coal, right? Which is that burning is the fire element, and ultimately the fire element is coming from the sun. Just like wood, right? When you put fire to wood, what happens? The wood ignites. Why does the wood ignite? Because the energy of the sun has entered into the wood. Right? And because the energy of the sun is in the wood, then fire, the fire element, is prominent. And therefore everything becomes flammable. So, as it is said here, that the sun represents Krishna's eye. And the sun is often used in different ways, different analogies are given for the sun in terms of its potency throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. The sun is considered to be the pavitra. Pavitra means it purifies. It is explained that when the sun shines on something, even something impure becomes purified. So therefore in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Krishna, Surya, Sama, Mayahaya, Andhakar. Krishna is like the sun. Why is Krishna like the sun? Because wherever Krishna is, everything becomes purified. Just like sometimes you're thinking something impure. Does it ever happen to you? Did it happen once or twice? In the last 5 minutes? Hopefully not. But the mind is impure. Our minds are impure because of samskaras. Samskaras means impressions. Right? We have so many impressions in our consciousness. Not only from this life, but also from other lives. Now, we have a natural tendency towards sense gratification. We have a natural tendency to perform sinful activities, to enjoy separately from Krishna. This is in our mind. Now, when Krishna enters the mind, that Mayahaya Andhakar, the jurisdiction of Maya, or the jurisdiction of the material energy, cannot be there wherever Krishna is. Whenever Krishna appears, then Maya disappears. Just like wherever there is light, there cannot be darkness simultaneously. Right? Darkness means the absence of light. Right? If there's no light, then that's darkness. Right? But wherever there is light, then there cannot be any darkness. So similarly, Maya cannot hold any jurisdiction when Krishna is present. So therefore, we were reading one purport last night in the fourth canto, and what does Prabhupada say? He says that we should always keep Krishna within our mind. Because when Krishna is in your mind, if the Maya cannot have any jurisdiction. Right? So this is how. You say, well, my mind gives me so many problems. Right? Hands up if your mind gives you some problems. Okay, 100%. Everyone is a member of this club. And it's called the mental club. Right? We are all mental. Right? Our minds give us problems. Right? This is called ISKCON terminology. Right? Are you on the mental platform today? Actually, I'm on the mental platform this lifetime. I've been on the mental platform since I came to the material world. Mano Ratena. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Mano Rata. What's a Rata? A chariot. Mano Rata. Bhagavatam says that the conditioned souls are simply living on the chariot of the mind. We're just on the mental platform all day. Mental. Just thinking of this, thinking of that, thinking of everything but Krishna. Just mental. This is good. Because what does the mind do? Right? Accepts and rejects. This is good. No, this is bad. No, this is good. No, this is bad. This is good. No, it's bad. That's all the mind does, all day, all day, all day. And then you get two minds together, and it's worse. This is good. No, this is bad. This is good. No, this is bad. You see, husband and wives. I saw one documentary many years ago about all the famous restaurants in Australia. And the guy who owns the most famous restaurant in Sydney, which is on the Sydney Harbour, he said that the busiest night of the year in the restaurant is which night? Valentine's Day. The busiest day of the night. So, busiest day of the year in the restaurants. So, he said that that is the worst day of the year. He said for the restaurants. Because he said he's in the kitchen and he's looking out through they have like big glass window and he can see the whole restaurant. And it's like, 300 people sitting there. And he said, he can't hear what anyone's saying because he's in the kitchen, but he can see everyone. And he said, all the couples are just arguing. Right? Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine. Here's your roses. Why did you get me those coloured roses? Because I love you. But that's not the colour I like. If you really loved me, you would understand what colour I like. No, I do love you. Right? And then, it is good? No, it is bad. It is good? No, it is bad. It is good? No, it is bad. That is the mind. That's all that happens in the material world, like that. So, how to overcome the power of the mind? How to overcome the power of Maya? Maya's jurisdiction. Maya Haya Andhakar. Then you must have Krishna, Surya, Sama. Maya Haya Andhakar. Krishna, Surya. Because wherever Krishna is, there cannot be any Maya. This is also described by Raghunath Das Goswami in the Mana Shiksha. What does Mana Shiksha mean? Teachings to the mind. If you want to learn something about how to deal with your mind, then you read Raghunath Das Goswami's Mana Shiksha. Teachings to your mind. Right? So he says, he gives the same principle. Because Srila Prabhupada explains that the pure devotees have the same potency as Krishna. Wherever the pure devotee is, they have the same potency as Krishna. Just like whenever Prabhupada, you see the videos, the old videos, when Prabhupada would come to a particular place, he'd arrive in Melbourne or he'd arrive somewhere in the world, you'd see the atmosphere which surrounded him. Right? It was just like Krishna was present. God's representative. Has the same potency as God if he's a pure representative. Right? So we would see that Prabhupada would arrive at the airport and there would be these huge kirtans to greet Prabhupada. And the devotees would take over the whole airport. Right? 100, 200, 300 devotees, everyone dancing. I mean, like the most intense kirtans in ISKCON's history. We're probably in the airports around the world. And you see, it's funny, you see the footage, and you see the camera goes on all the devotees, and then you see the camera goes across to the non-devotees, and the non-devotees are just like... It's like, what is this? Who are these people? You know, what is going on? You know? And then one time, Prabhupada, he was on the other side of the customs, and there was a wall there, and the devotees were all chanting and dancing in ecstasy, and then they're waiting for Prabhupada to come out, and then Prabhupada put his, he was chanting japa, he put his bead bag up, put his hand up like that, and when the devotees saw his hand, his bead bag, they went mad, right? And kirtan became more intense, and then he put his hand down. And then, because he was waiting like 10, 15 minutes to get through customs, he put his hand up every couple of minutes. And whenever they put their hand, the kirtan just go... And then he'd bring his hand down again. You know, just keep putting his hand up once in a while. Right? So you could see the atmosphere. And when that atmosphere is there, when the pure devotee or when God is present, then Maya has no jurisdiction. There is no Maya. So this is the potency of the pure devotee and the potency of Krishna. So Raghunath Das Goswami says in the Manashiksha that there are six enemies which try to steal our bhakti. What are the names of the six enemies?
Lust,
anger, greed, pride, envy, and illusion. So these six, they try to steal our bhakti. And they're quite good at it. Very good at it. Very formidable foes. Very formidable enemies. Enemies of bhakti. Lust. Right? Very powerful. Arjuna says in the Bhagavad Gita to Krishna, he said, sometimes it's hard for me to control my mind. Sometimes it's hard for me to focus on my service. Why is that? Even though I know that I should focus on my service, but I become just distracted. Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguno Samudbhava. Right? It is lust. Very powerful. So, lust is very difficult to overcome. Lust continuously derails our bhakti. So how does Krishna say to deal with it at the end of the third chapter? After he analyzes that it's lust that derails us continuously, then how do we deal with lust? Krishna says you have to make your intelligence, your buddhi, strong. And how do you make your intelligence strong? By hearing shastra. It means you have to read Prabhupada's books. Because when you read Prabhupada's books, your intelligence becomes strong. Becomes stronger than the mind. And then when your intelligence is strong, you can control your mind. And then lust will not derail you. And then Krishna says you must also regulate your senses. If you want to make advancement as a devotee, you have to become regulated. Regulated means you have to rise early in the morning. Right? It's hard to make spiritual advancement when you keep getting up late. Right? You get up late, your rounds are never as good. Right? So you get up early, regulate your life, and go to bed early. Right? Get up early. Right? Do not overeat. Do not eat too much. Do not eat too little. Right? This is called regulation. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, one must not eat too much or eat too little. He must not sleep too much or sleep too little. He must not work too much or work too little. He must not recreate too much or must not recreate too little. Right? This is called yoga. This is balance. And when we have this balance, then we can overcome the mind. So lust, right? And then lust has a younger brother. What is lust's younger brother called?
Anger.
His name is Kama Nuj. Just like we have the name Rama Nuj. Rama Nuj means Lakshman, means the follower of Ram. Right? Wherever Ram went, Lakshman was right behind. Right? Rama Nuj means Lakshman. Right? So Kama Nuj means wherever there is lust, Kama Nuj following is anger. Krota. Right? Right behind. So how to deal with him? He's also very difficult to deal with. How to deal with him? You have to minimize him. There's one pastime in the Mahabharata where Satyaki and Krishna and Balaram were traveling. And then in the middle, they stopped at night time to camp. So Satyaki said to Krishna and Balaram, he said, "You two take rest, and I'll stay up for 2 hours and guard the camp. And then after 2 hours, I'll take rest, and then Balaram can wake up, and then at the end of the night, then Krishna can wake up and he can guard the camp for 2 hours." So they said, okay. So they took rest. So Satyaki, he was there guarding the camp, and then one huge Rakshasa came. Right? And he came and he saw Satyaki and he said, "I will eat you, and then I will eat your friends." And Satyaki said, "You will try." Satyaki, who was Satyaki? He was Krishna's military guru. He taught Krishna Dhanur Veda. He taught Krishna how to fight. And he was Krishna's guru in military science. He was the general of the Yadava army, the Yadu dynasty. They're very powerful. So he said, "You will try." He said, "Come." So they went and had a fight. And the more that Satyaki fought with this Rakshasa, the more powerful he got. And he fought with him and fought with him and fought with him. But he just became more and more powerful as time went by. And after 2 hours, he was just exhausted. And the Rakshasa went away. And then he came over and he said to Balaram, he said, "Balaram, wake up." And Balaram woke up and he said, "Your turn to guard." And he just fell asleep. So then Balaram was there. And then this Rakshasa came back. And he said, "I will eat you and then I will eat your friends." And Balaram said, "Okay." So then he walked over and they had a fight. And the more that Balaram fought with him and fought and fought and fought, the stronger this Rakshasa got. Now after 2 hours, he was exhausted. So then he went and he woke up Krishna. And he said, "It's your turn." Now the Rakshasa disappeared. He said, "It's your turn." And then Satyaki also woke up. And they said to Krishna, "Be careful, there's a Rakshasa out here tonight. He keeps coming back." And Balaram said, "I fought with him for 2 hours and I couldn't defeat him." And Satyaki said, "I also fought with him for 2 hours, I couldn't defeat him." And Krishna said, "Okay, we'll see what happens when he comes." So then he turned up. This huge Rakshasa came. And he said to Krishna, he said, "I will devour you and then I will devour your friends." And Krishna went, he said, "Nice try." And he said, "No, I will kill you." And Krishna said, "You won't kill me. You won't kill anything." And he said, "You are a pipsqueak." He said, "You are insignificant." So what happened is that this Rakshasa, the more Krishna laughed at him, the smaller and smaller he got. And he got smaller and smaller and smaller. And he got so small, he only turned up this big. And Krishna just picked him up and put him in his dhoti and tied him up. Right? So who was the Rakshasa? Anger. Right? This is how to deal with anger. The whole Daksha Jagya, because we're studying the Daksha Jagya in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam at the moment, the whole Daksha Jagya erupted because of one thing. Actually, many things, but one of the principal things was anger. Right? Everyone got angry. And as soon as anger appears, if you feed it with more anger, what happens? It increases. Just like when you're angry and then someone else reacts to you with anger, then what happens? You become more angry. And then they become more angry. And then you say things which you would not ordinarily say, and you will do things you not ordinarily do. And we see that's what happens. You see, when husbands murder their wives, it's not most of the time, it's said it's not premeditated. They weren't thinking, "Oh, I'll kill her." You know, sometimes we think, but you know, we don't think like, I was joking. You can send an email to Veda Priya saying, "I was joking." So we may think whatever we think, right? But most of the murders are actually not premeditated, right? It just happens, right? It just, the husband gets angry, the wife gets angry, they get angry and angry and angry and angry, and then suddenly the husband snaps, pulls out a knife, and then gone, like that. And then he thinks, "Oh my God, why did I do that?" So this is the potency of anger. So therefore, Krishna recommends that, he shows us the example, if you want to deal with anger, then what should you do? What should you do? Right? You have to minimize anger. You have to not react to anger with anger, but react to anger with something else. Right? Stay calm, or use a little humor, or use some prasadam. Right? Very hard to be angry when you have a gulab in your mouth. Someone becomes angry, say, "Prabhu, have a gulab." And then he'd go, "Okay, no, don't worry about it." Not that. So, these different enemies, they constantly try to attack us. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion. Constantly trying to overtake our bhakti. And constantly we are struggling with them. So Raghunath Das Goswami says, whenever these enemies appear, call out to the pure devotees. Right? Say Prabhupada. Say Gurudev. Say Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Come and save me, save me. And Raghunath Das Goswami says that as soon as you call out, they appear within your mind, your chitta, your consciousness. And as soon as they're in your consciousness, then what happens? Right? Lust, anger, greed, they all run away in fear. Oh, Prabhupada's coming. As soon as lust sees Prabhupada, he says, oh, runs. Right? As soon as your guru appears, just like if your guru walked in this temple right now, right? Immediately, all your maya just run. So therefore, it is said that in order to overcome these things, keep Krishna in your mind. Keep the pure devotees in your mind. Krishna, Surya Sama. Krishna is like the sun. So if you keep him in your mind, then everything will be pure. Like that. So this is the analogy which is given in this part of the Bhagavatam, and in many parts of the Bhagavatam, this analogy of the sun is used in different ways. So Krishna is showing these different analogies in order to instruct Uddhava and ultimately to instruct us on how to overcome this material energy and surrender to him. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Well, you mentioned that to overcome karma, plus you have to sharpen the intelligence by reading the scriptures. So we've seen the scriptures and we've seen practically, and that some individuals have a lot of knowledge of scripture and they appear to be very intelligent, but they fall prey to lust. So is there something else that
Yeah, well, ultimately it's bhakti. It's purification of consciousness. Because, as you say, that even very people who are much more advanced than us and much more learned and so forth, they fall and prey to lust along the path of devotion. So ultimately, one can be learned, but it's not that type of jnana, or it's not a material type of jnana, but it's a devotional jnana or a divya jnana, a transcendental knowledge. And that knowledge teaches us to engage our senses in the service of Krishna. So it is not knowledge for knowledge's sake. So we may become learned, just like we may study the scriptures and may become learned and we know the Bhagavatam or read the Bhagavad Gita and memorize things. But then, what is the practical application? Krishna says in the Gita, manmana Baba Madhbhakto. He says, think of me. He doesn't say just, you know, become learned and read everything and memorize everything. But then the culmination of that knowledge is that we should think of Krishna. So then if bhakti is in the heart, if the heart is pure, then one will have less chance of being distracted by lust. So ultimately it comes down to every soul has independence. That's why we came to the material world originally, because we misused our independence. And at every opportunity, we have the opportunity to misuse our independence once again. So as long as that desire or that tendency has not been overcome, then we may fall prey to Maya at some point in time. But if we overcome that tendency with a natural, strong desire to serve Krishna, when that becomes very prominent in our consciousness, then it's much less difficult for lust to overcome us. Would you like to comment on something?
I was thinking of that professor from Varanasi that went to see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was a very learned scholar. He had his list of questions and doubts that he didn't think anybody could, in the market, could deal with except for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, Bhaktisiddhanta sent him to the kitchen to do some service in the kitchen. And he said, after he finished the service, come back and see me. And we'll sort out the questions. And he came back and He's there because of his service in the kitchen, wherever he was, in the market, in his menial service. All of his doubts were, well, all of his questions were answered, and his doubts were eradicated. And he didn't have any questions to ask. We're reading in the Bhagavad Gita at the moment, in the fourth hand also, about Swayamrupananda, about Narada Muni instructing the sons of Daksha, and Dows upon the beach. And he instructs them to become, not to get involved in material life. And there's a lot of purpose there in translations of, that highlight the importance of, highlight the fact that we, Krishna consciousness is something that manifests in the heart rather than we get from the outside. Through instruction from Guru, we're following instructions from authority, we become consciousness becomes purified, and then what we need is revealed in the heart through the practice. In their case, it was very severe austerities, but through the practice of devotional service, we become purified. It's just free from attraction to materiality.
Any other questions or comments?
We have a Jagannath Ramanavata. We have Jagannath Ramanavata. We have Ramanavata. There's a rule of the mind.
Festival of the mind. They have that in Sydney once a year also. The Mardi Gras. It's the biggest public gathering in Australia. Yeah, 500,000 people. Festival of the mind. Get on the chariot and let your mind go. Or go to Brazil, it's even bigger.
That's it. Even anger can be used for devotional service.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're allowed to use anger when a devotee is being attacked, or when Krishna is being attacked, then we can use anger. Otherwise, we keep it in our pocket. Any other question or comment?
Probably in Vedas, we see the direct mention of Krishna is not there. It says Supreme Personality of Godhead, worship of demigods and all. Why is it like, is it misguiding people from getting to the actual goal of life, or?
Krishna is mentioned sometimes, not that Krishna is not mentioned, but as you say in the Vedas, then there are secondary names of God which are referred to, Gauna names, as opposed to the principal names of God which are being referred to. So the Vedas are dealing with people who, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, ye yata mam prapajyante tam stadaiva bhajamyaham, that as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So not everyone is ready to fully surrender to Krishna. So therefore Krishna speaks of different things in the Vedas, and the Vedas speak of different things, because it fulfills the different desires of the living entities. But when one is serious about re-establishing one's lost relationship with Krishna, then Krishna says in the Gita that within the heart, I direct you to your proper destination. So then we come into an institution like ISKCON, and then we have the opportunity to do Krishna Bhakti Seva. And then we can re-establish our lost relationship with Krishna. That's why in the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, in ISKCON, then our principal Shastra is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the Bhagavatam does not spend time discussing things which are not directly related to Krishna. Because we don't have so much time in Kali Yuga. So you're better off just getting straight to the point. And what is the point? That we should surrender our lives to Krishna. Like that. Any other question or comment? Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.